We've got two hands going up.
Okay, nice. So maybe you're starting to see, you know, how that's going to affect your power planning team. So it's talking to your teams, upskilling them, doing some prompt engineering in-house, monitoring usage of things like if you are using ChatGPT and not just these industry specific tools that we're all aware of and feel a little bit safer, but are they really safe? Have you read the policies? What level of subscription do you have for the things that aren't industry specific, like if you're using another LLM to help you with content generation and things like this? We just started using GPT Teams and we're digging through, and I don't know if anyone's seen their like policy addendum that you have to sign and you don't realize you have to sign it and you have to scroll to the bottom and have a look. Is someone really mining through the paperwork and understanding it and taking time to understand it? So having a strategy in-house of upskilling your whole team and educating team around safe AI in terms of how to use it properly, how it's going to impact their role, and bringing them into the vision as well is so important. We have an AI council, we have an AI WhatsApp group, we meet regularly and talk about it, we'll throw it around in our Monday positives, all kinds of things of getting everyone very active and involved. This is a huge thing as well. So the onus and responsibility isn't just on one individual, and that everyone else starts to feel left behind, which is so important when you have different levels and perceptions of around technology adoption and attitudes towards AI. Because once you start this journey, you'll realize very quickly that not everybody feels the same. And I've shared about this before in the past. I don't feel it's important that everyone does, but that you do have someone responsible for bringing everyone along on that journey is going to lead to successful adoption, because it's really very rarely about the tools and their capacity and strength. It's about the people. And our ability to adopt and communicate.
There are some amazing points there. I'm very mindful. We've got 5 minutes left. I just want to come back because you talked a lot about doing things yourself. But financial advisors are financial advisors. And for particularly for small firms, what's the size of firm that it's practical? Because, you know, low code and no code tools, great. You've got the team that have got the time to spend on it, but you don't want to be taking time away, or I don't think many firms would want to take time away from advising. So I think there's a question of at what size of firm should advisors be looking to have someone dedicated to look after their IT? And I'm going to add a caveat to say, or alternatively, should they be looking long and hard? I saw a story published the other day saying paraplanners are in such a wonderful position, they can pick and choose where they're going to work now. I don't think that's true at all. I think the paraplanner community, if we're looking at the AIs, I think there'll be, you know, probably 9 out of 10 paraplanners won't be needed inside a year. So should firms be really looking at, hang on a minute, do I get my paraplanners to try and retrain to be my data experts? Come to Tim and then Jaya, and they'll probably take us to time. Tim first, if I may.
I'll try and be quick. First off, it's not just necessarily about reskilling paraplanners, it's reskilling everyone. You know, building that culture of innovation where everyone is engaged in the technology you're using, whether it's AI or anything else. Get it on everyone's minds. I get that financial planners are financial planners and they want to focus on their clients, and that's absolutely the right thing to focus on. But if you also are a financial planner of a small business, maybe you're also the principal of the business and you want your firm to innovate, then dedicate a little bit of time to thinking, okay, how can we improve this business using technology or AI or anything like that? So is there a headcount where it makes sense to have someone in to manage your IT, as you put it? I would actually say, if you're a small business, don't get a person in to manage your IT in the traditional sense, like an IT manager who's going to hand out laptops and focus on security. Outsource that. There are plenty of IT service management companies that can do that really well for really small businesses at a really reasonable price. So don't worry about that bit. When you get to a bit of a bigger business, then sure. But when you're really small, don't do that bit in-house. Get someone in-house in the same way you would have got an office manager maybe a few years ago. Get someone who is probably doing a little bit of office management, but more importantly, they're focusing on operational and technology stuff, which absolutely should include how can we innovate, how can we use systems, how can we use AI to improve the business. I think when you're a firm of maybe 10, maybe even 5, you should certainly have that kind of person in place. When you get above 10, you should be thinking multiple people. Now, in my ideal world, you'd have half the team focused on that, but that's not going to be necessary or possible for most businesses at this stage. Maybe if we roll the clock forward a couple of decades, then that'll be how it looks, but we shall see.
I think it's interesting. I think it might be less than a couple of decades, but
I hope so.
Jaya, last word from you, please.
If you want to future-proof your business, get someone now. Even if it's just part of their role, get them in now. And you don't know who that person is going to be as well. We say, like, leaving advisors out. Some of my best testers and innovators are some of the advisors. They're excited and they're seeing the impact of it straight away. We're still very much in the infancy of generative AI. It is going to be extremely disruptive in the next year or so. We're going to see, I think, when anyone started playing around with, you can create your own agents now. We thought agentic AI was really going to hit us maybe, you know, towards the end of next year, and it's already coming. It's come. If you're smart and you have someone, it's a very important and intelligent decision strategically, I think, to allocate resources and time to someone dedicated to looking at this now. That's it.
Yeah, I think in all honesty, having posed the original question, certainly the way I'm looking at things these days, I think all of us need to be spending a certain amount of time understanding AI, because the most successful people in the future will be the people that are best able to work with the technology and let the technology take the strain. I've started every couple of weeks asking AIs that I'm working with to say, tell me what I can be doing better. And one that comes up a lot is, let me do more of the hard work and you focus on the stuff. So I think it's actually a live issue for everybody. That was a tremendous session. And I hope that our audience has really appreciated it. I found it really useful. Just very much a round of applause, if I may, asked.